be glorified in Jesus. The title of my sermon this morning is The Greatest Giver, The Greatest Donor, if you will. You notice today three of the texts specifically lift up widows. Psalm, the Old Testament reading, and then a gospel reading. I want you to know that there's no way you can read the scriptures every year, at least once a year, and not hear our widows. God's heart for widows, God's heart for prophets, God's heart for sojourners, for the aliens. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about donation, giving, contribution. I don't know about you, but I get a lot of solicitations for money. I get them all the time. I get them from various institutions where I've taught. I get them from various Christian organizations. Not all of these institutions by any means do this, but a lot of them do something that I find really offensive. And that is, they'll give you listings on the pages of all those who have given over 10,000. Those that have given 5,000, you know how it is. And then they've got the list down below. They thank those who have given 500 or less. Celebrating, if you will, those people that give the largest amounts of money. I'm here to proclaim to you this morning that the greatest donors are the ones that give out of what they have. Give sacrificially of what they have. However much those are the ones that the Lord smiles upon. Well, Jesus in our gospel text this morning turns everything upside down as usual. He says that the least monetary donation in this particular section of Scripture in Mark 12, the tiniest donation is the largest and most valuable of all. In some ways, the disciples were shaking their heads and making Jesus, you're always astounded. Look at the context of this particular section of Mark 12, verses 38 to 44. Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem for the Passover, and in verses 29 to 30, he answers the question that raised him. And the question is this: what's the most important commandment of all? And Jesus says, the most important is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. Note that Jesus binds them together. He says two commandments. No, he says these are integrated. There's no commandment of prayer. But love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And if you love Him that way, you will love your neighbors yourself. Because the kind of love that enables us to love Him and help Him like that can only come from Him. So as we are blessed by Him, He enables us to love Him, and He in turn will help us love and care for those He cares for so much. Jesus takes aim in verses 38 to 40 at the scribes who are always seeking the honor and glory. These guys are always wandering around in their vestments. Always wanting to attract attention to themselves and their piety and their holiness. They seek the highest seats in any gathering. At the same time, they're doing that as lawyers and scribes and teachers and lawyers that are exploiting widows whom God has a heart for. And Jesus looks upon them at minimum with a jaundiced eye. In fact, it's a shattering statement here. I can't find you in here. These scribes, they will receive the greater condemnation. they're sitting opposite the temple treasury where they can observe people placing their offerings in the offering boxes. Some people are convinced that there were 12 or 13 of those offering boxes in there at this time period. And they looked like trumpets. In fact, they were called trumpets. And they were like a huge trumpet that was upside down with a narrow shaft and on the top and then at the bottom. Was a big wider base, and so time you heard lightning, you saw it in a novel. This is true. In Chicago, years ago, and then the person evidently put in a bigger roll of that green stuff. Not only did the light flash, but a little buzzer went off. I sounded like a trumpet right out of Mark the Ball. So people are up giving sometimes because they want to be, you know, they want the pastor to be admired. They want to be admired by those people. What would that pastor teach? Because he was teaching that with what he was doing. Well, a certain thing though that runs through in this text, principle that I think we need to hold on. And that is, this text makes it clear that God does not need government. He's going to build his kingdom, whether we give or not. Now, through my giving, I can take part in what he's doing. He doesn't need it. He's got other resources. He's watching. But our giving then is not the church won't make it if I don't give. It's really an issue of my soul happiness. Jesus wants our hearts. Jesus wants your heart and my heart. And if he has our hearts, he'll get our money. He'll get our time. He'll get our devotion. As I conclude this morning, I want you to remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It is more blessed than you can receive. You're going to be more happy, more fulfilled if you give rather than receive. It's hard to believe sometimes, isn't it? When you and I become believers, once we're baptized and confirmed, or we had a keen sense of our sinfulness, gave our lives to Christ, had a born again experience, this is the beginning of a sacred journey with Jesus, the beginning of a walk with our Lord and Savior. But we won't grow in that relationship. We will not experience the joy of that sacred journey if we don't learn to give. That's our hearts. You hear me say this a lot in here, that you're not going to grow if you won't break the scripture today, if you don't set aside time to pray. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't give, you won't grow either. If you don't give, if you do not exercise the gift for whatever needed resources you might have, you will. Not broken, but you should. Your soul will be in suffering. Today, I want you to think on something I did this morning. My wife sent an email to our oldest grandson, so finally in the West Point. He's got a move in crack out of it. If he trusts to get into West Point for next fall, he's got a move in the mountain, he's leaving. He might have wanted to go. But more important than marrying me about Bill getting into West Point, Bill's heart was the Lord. And when he was just a little guy, and he just had one sibling at that time, his brother Dan, they came and stayed in our house for several months. They bought a picture of our house, and picture of it all the day, brought home to the people who intended to take it. So they were staying with us for several months. Mary and I had an opportunity to have some devotional time with. there was a piece of tape on the front of each one that had their name on it, and then one jar said Jesus on it, and the other jar said Bill. And on a regular basis, I gave each one of them 10 pennies. And we talked about tithing. I said, you need it. When you get 10 pennies, the first thing you want to do is break off the top and give 10% to the Lord. So they did it. They're good to him, and they're faithful to do it. We've given that to Washington. One day, Bill was always been kind of quiet. One day he looked down at the jar and he looked up at me and said, Grandpa, Jesus doesn't have her in her hands, does he? I said, no, that's not. What are you going to do about it? To this day, when I talk to the boys on the phone, I know Mary does, she has her thing. One of the things I say, boys, how much money did you make this summer? Or how much money did you make last week? If you had to get involved. So you got that money set aside for the savings? Yes, sir. Grandpa, we're saving up. I got $100 to give it to the church. What about you? What about you? Same thing you bring up.